Welcome to the X-Line. This is episode 2. I'm Mark Sadowski. I want to thank everybody who listened to episode 1.9 last week and got a lot of emails of people supporting, giving me a great welcome back. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who wrote in. Thank you for everybody who listened, who didn't have the time or, you know, I mean, writing in, this is entertainment. You don't have to write in. But for all those people who gave me 5-star reviews on iTunes, to the people that wrote in support, everybody who listened, you know, thank you very much. And it was great to be back on the mic. And I can't wait to delve deeper into Fuji stories and the X-Series cameras that we all also love. This week's episode, this proper episode too, was supposed to be about the X-Pro1. I was going to kind of make it parallel to the release, to the announcement anyway, of the X-Pro2. And as of right now, I think there's been a delay in the launch of the X-Pro2, just to kind of date the show. But I had everything ready. I got my story ready, and I just couldn't go through with it yet. I just felt like it wasn't time. Instead, what happened was I got this inclination to check eBay and look to see if there was a Fuji camera up there for sale. And it wasn't an X-Series camera. Instead, I did a search for the Fujifilm S7000. For those of you who have listened to episode 1 will know that this is the first Fuji camera I've ever owned. And it is the camera that I like to credit in saving my sanity. Saving my life sounds a little bit too dramatic. So I wanted to dedicate this episode to, I guess, to my first love, the Fuji S7000. And I think it deserves a little bit more of a story than I did in the first episode. A long time ago, and right now, I can't remember when. This is probably sometime after college, sometime in my early 20s. I came down with a condition called Meniere's disease. In short, it's a vestibular disorder that makes you really, really dizzy. It basically kills your balance center in one of your ears. God forbid it happens to both ears. And you could get these severe, and I'm talking severe, dizzy spells. It's the kind, as one comedian put it, you feel so dizzy you have to hold on to the grass to keep from flinging off the earth. That kind of dizzy. And that's what I was going through. And I had this early on, and I had this condition for years. It takes a while to properly diagnose this, and it's takes a while to treat. There is no known cure for it, and it's a real bugger. So I had this, lucky me. And I had, during this time period, I had lost my job. It was definitely after the dot-com bubble. I'm thinking it was around 2003, 2004. The time escapes me now. I had a girlfriend. I was engaged at that time, and just things were not looking good at all. I had lost my job, and I was unemployed for a considerable amount of time. There was just no job openings related to my field. I was kind of like a webmaster email marketing guy, and this is early on in email marketing. It was still kind of the Wild West, and it was difficult. And there were many, many days where I was just laid out because I just could not get up. I was dizzy beyond imagination. And the only thing I could do is not move. And there were many days where I just laid in bed. I just physically could not get up. Doing so would just result in really getting motion sickness and just vomiting and lots of fun. And I was really alone. My fiance, she was living with her folks, and she really didn't come visit me. I was living with my folks at the time as well. And by the way, spoiler: I never ended up marrying this girl. She was trouble. It just took me a while to figure it out. And I was alone. I had nothing to do, nothing that I could do, really. I was just motionless for days on end. For the moments that I could get up, I really didn't want to go anywhere because I was really afraid of having a dizzy spell out there and in the real world. And I just kind of gave up. Now, there was at no point I was going to end my life or anything like that. I just wouldn't do that. I'm afraid of dying. So it was either live a miserable life or that was like my only choice. I didn't consider ending my own life. But my belief in an afterlife and all that stuff, that's a whole other headache and whole other genre of podcast, and I'm not going to burden you guys with it. So I was stuck with this. This was my lot in life as I saw it. And I did go for treatments at a eye and ear place. And at this point, one of the treatments that I was taking was injections of gentamicin into my ear. And now what this translates to is that they were literally killing off that little balance center in my left ear. It was my left ear that was giving me the trouble. And it was probably some of the most painful things I've ever felt. It's just to describe it as best I can. Getting the needle jabbed in there was painful. They had to go through the eardrum. They had to go to, to do the injection pretty deep in there. And the nerve killing was a mixture of both fiery hot and intense cold all at the same time. It burned and it froze and it hurt. And I would get these done probably, oh God, I don't even remember how many times I've got them done. But the idea is to kill the nerves that transmitted the dizzy signals to my brain. And for a while, it just did nothing. I just kept feeling dizzy. And there was no relief in sight. Even in my sleep, I dreamt of dizzy moments. I'd be on a roller coaster ride that was spinning out of control, or it just absolute misery. And I remember one day I just prayed. And at this point, I wasn't really religious either. I knew people had it worse than me. I knew there were worse things out there. But when you're going through something pretty intense, it's hard to see the forest through the trees. And I don't know if this was a prayer to an almighty power or I don't remember what it was. I just remembered just thinking, if this is going to be my lot in life, let me have something in return that would just be good. I don't know what it is. I had no idea what I was even asking for, but I just want something. if I'm going to carry this burden as a fair trade, so to speak. And it turns out that probably a few weeks later, and I can't remember the time, but I got an email out of the blue from an old college friend, and she was showing off photos of her modeling, and she had pictures that were okay, you know, they were fun, something that is kind of akin to a glamour shots photo, but they weren't portraits, they were more, it's kind of like a cross between portrait and pinup style. And she was saying how her friend did these for her and that she was having fun. And I'm looking through these photos and I'm thinking, I could do this. I just don't have a camera. And sure enough, my dad was looking into getting a camera. He was asking for advice, and I was like, oh my God, there's only one way to go. It's Canon. And I really urged him to go Canon. I think there was one of the power shots that was really nice. And Canon or Nikon, something along that lines. But definitely, I was pushing for him to get a Canon. And one day out of the blue, he just comes home with this stupid Fuji S7000. I'm like, what the heck is this crap? I told you, get a Canon. He's like, no, this. And he's really into like spreadsheets and facts and, you know, showing off, you know, all that can do. And I was like, all right, whatever. 6 megapixels. All right, that's not bad. That was pretty beefy back then. And so I asked him if I could use it a few times. And, you know, he said, yeah. And I went out, started photographing a little bit. And turns out I really liked this little thing. It was no Canon, but it would do. And for those of you who are interested in seeing any of these photos, I will put them into the web post on thexline.com. Or check him out on Instagram. You could find me on Instagram. I haven't done anything with the account in a while, so bear with me. But you could find some photos on Xline Show on Instagram, and you'll be able to see some of my early stuff. So that was all well and good. You know, a few flowers here and there, some landscapes. This was fun, but what else can I do? And I got to thinking that maybe I could photograph my friend. I could do some outdoor stuff, some fun candids, I suppose. And never got in touch with her, surprisingly. I just don't know. I don't remember the reasons, but it just didn't happen. I couldn't photograph her. But I went looking into other options. Maybe they were groups somewhere. And this is when I came across one model place. I don't know if it's still around, but it's kind of like the model mayhem of the early aughts. And it ended up being a pretty good gold mine. There were a lot of models that were looking for trade for print, that were willing to pose and do some modeling for me. And I was really fortunate in finding really cool people to work with, people who kind of shared the same candidness that I was looking to photograph. And so I gave it a try, and I started photographing some people. And just from there, just kept improving and improving. I read as many books as I can on, as I could on photography. I just felt alive again. And with every everything I absorbed. It was just so refreshing, and it just felt so complete to do something. At this point, my unemployment was about to run out, and I was fortunate enough to grab a job at a supermarket that would allow me to continue photographing on my off time and have a steady job in the meantime. And it also allowed me to buy my very own Fuji S7000 camera. And it was just, my God, it was just like the Wild West for me personally. Just exploring these weird recesses of the internet. I'm making it sound fantastic when really, in retrospect, it really wasn't. But at the time, it was pretty invigorating for me. All the while, my fiance just did not like it one bit that I was photographing these girls. But she kind of saw that it was not going to stop either. So yeah, that's great. She and by the way, my fiance would not let me photograph her at all. She at in the beginning, she didn't let me photograph her because she felt she was ugly, or she made up some stupid excuse. I don't know. She was dumb. So I kept going at it. And one particular day, there was a model that I was photographing. Her name was Julie Bilodeau. And she is one of the people that really inspired me. And it was a very simple act. We were photographing in a outdoor location nearby. It was like a few miles away at one of the parks here in my hometown. And we were just kind of doing different things. It was just like testing out different poses, testing out like different moods for her to kind of play off of. And at one particular moment, she started laughing, and she had the most gorgeous smile that I just absolutely fell in love with. I had a little crush on her. What can I say? But when she started to smile, it was like like something just clicked. I'm like, you got to keep doing that. And something in her clicked too, because she's like, "What are you talking about? You're smiling. That's a gorgeous smile." And it absolutely dumbfounded her because she has a bit of a crooked tooth, and every photographer that she has worked with before me has said that she had a horrible smile. They flat out said, "Horrible smile. Don't show your teeth." And here's this Polish kid or guy, we were about the same age, she's saying that you have a beautiful smile. And it floored her. I'm like, no, look at this. You have a beautiful smile. And I showed her the photos and showed her that the energy that she was giving off, and I mean, she still didn't really see it, but I just encouraged her. I did everything I could to make her laugh, and I would just say the stupidest things, just to get her to smile. And from there, it just clicked. And you know, I just photographed the shit out of her. And I kept bringing her back to photograph her, and we had the best time. It was absolutely amazing. And just photography felt so alive. And this little Fuji camera, this 6 megapixel battery-eating piece of crap that I was shitting on before, pardon the French, I just absolutely adored it. It was my extension. It was an extension of my hand at this point, extension of my eyes. And it I just photography was just born. It just took a it, there was a spark that just lit up, and I just kept going at it. And I wanted to grow my talents more. I just wanted to just photograph the world. I think I was getting to the point where I felt like I was outgrowing the camera, which was a shame because I didn't want to outgrow the camera. I kept adding to it, and I bought the wide angle attachment. I bought the telephoto attachment. I just wanted this camera to last, but I knew I needed to upgrade to a DSLR to do some more hardcore stuff. And I was thinking, maybe I can be a professional photographer. Maybe I could do this for a career. If I'm not going to have a regular career, I'm not going to work at a supermarket all my life. Although there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great supermarket. But that wasn't in my heart. This was. And, I just felt like this is it. This is going to be my job. And I remember going to other photographers, showing them my work. And one in particular, I don't remember his name. But I remember he was out in Beverly, Massachusetts, and I went to his studio. And if you could imagine the movie cliche of an artistic photographer who is in his jeans and a t-shirt, nappy hair, barefoot, and just has like his gear scattered all over the place. This guy was the poster child. He was also a complete asshole. Again, pardon the language. And he looked at my work and he was like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, you really got to ditch the digital camera. Digital is not going anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. It's never going to replace film. And he was showing me, he's like, yeah, I could totally tell these were taken on a digital camera. And to me, I was looking at the prints that I made. I'm like, no, how can you tell the difference? They were crisp. The images were sharp. There were no pixelations. I mean, Fuji did a fantastic job of rendering really nice 8x10s. And he's like, yeah, I could totally tell. These are crap. And, you want to do something like this. And then he showed me his artistic work, which I got to say was just absolute rubbish to me. I mean, it could have been anger, but he was printing these on like these fiber papers that really, really ate the detail out of the photos. And he was like, yeah, you should go into twin lens. I think that'll be a good start for you. Do some twin lens photography and that's a good start for you. And basically patted me on the head and sent me on my way, not literally, but kind of figuratively. And yeah, I never went back to that guy. I don't even know if he's still in business. He was a jerk, really, really a big jerk. but at this point, I was determined that I was going to be a photographer. I wasn't going to let some doofus tell me otherwise or tell me that my work wasn't good. It really wasn't good, but I had some moments, I think. I still had a lot to learn, and I still do have a lot to learn even today. But, I just carried on, and, I met with other photographers, other digital photographers, the so-called not real photographers, according to this guy. But we carried on, and this was like my gateway into Canon, because one photographer said, yeah, you absolutely need to ditch the Fuji, and Fuji's not going anywhere. They're crap. You did some great work with the Fuji, but if you want to be fast and on your feet, you need to go to Canon, because Canon makes some great sensors. Nikon makes the glass, Canon makes the sensors. And so that's when I married Canon and invested in their glass, invested in their cameras. And I mean, that's all she wrote for that segment of my life. But I've always carried this Fuji with me. I never let it go. I didn't use it, but I didn't let it go. And I carried it with me. I would let my wife use it at this point, or my new fiance, I should say, because I had broken off my engagement and had a whole year to myself just to frolic, let's just say. Nothing X-rated or anything like that. But when I met up with my my girlfriend, who would soon be my new fiance, who would soon be my wife, I let her use my Fuji camera, and we went off photographing together whenever we had the chance, whenever we had days off together. And I would show her how to use it, how to take care of it, and, you know, handle its quirky nuances, I suppose. And sadly, that camera met an end when I let my brother-in-law use it to photograph, like, some stuff for insurance. I guess he had an accident at his house, like some pipes burst, and he needed to show photographic evidence. And he was like, yeah, let me borrow your cameras. I'm like, F you, no. You can borrow this one, I suppose, but I need this back. I never got it back. He broke it. And I was, on the one hand, thankful I didn't give him my good cameras. I would never let him do that. But I absolutely regretted giving him my Fuji camera. A little bit died inside me. This was my baby. This was my little spark that brought me back to life. And it was broken. And it was thrown away unceremoniously. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody. And to this day, my wife doesn't know how hurt I was about it. I didn't want to tell her, you know, some stupid, sappy story. But it really hurt. And it wasn't until a few weeks ago, when the X-Pro 2 was announced, that, you know, I wanted to see if, and I pre-ordered it, by the way. I can't wait for this thing to come. Next week will be my X-Pro 1 story. But this week, I wanted to share that I went on eBay. I looked up to see if there were any S7000s out there, and I think there were two at the time that I looked. And I bid on it, and it wasn't one of those buy me now instantly. I had to fight this one, and fight I did. It started off at $20 and the $30, and I was like, I'm not going to go any higher than 30. That's kind of ridiculous. Oh, I was outbid. Well, so much for, no, I'm buying it. $40. $45, $49, $50. And I bought this thing for like $56, I think. I think that was including the shipping too. So yeah, I bought it. And I got it back in my hands. And this thing is, this beautiful camera is beat up. It's still in great condition, but there are scuffs. There are some wear and tear. And it just feels all too familiar. And I just remember it so well, and it, oh my God, it's just great to have it back, and I will never let this out of my sight again. I'll leave it at home. I'll leave it in a safe place, and every now and then I might pop it out and take some photos. But as far as nostalgia goes, this is the first camera that I photographed candid moments with. This is the first camera that I photographed my passion for waterfalls. Oh dear God, waterfalls, I love them. And I've always been fascinated by the slow shutter effect that just gave water the smooth, silky appearance. And I was able to do that for the first time with this camera. And, you know, I would take it out. I photographed my brother graduating college with it. I was able to, thank you, teleconverter lens. I was able to get a sweet shot. Sadly, I don't have it anymore, but I got it. I did street photography with it. I did everything with this camera, and it just felt so good. And I am, would this have happened if I had in fact got the Canon? Probably. I don't know. But I think if there is a higher power out there that was looking down on me or whatever, they brought the Fuji instead of the Canon. Thank you, first of all. It was great to see the LCD display, and then the viewfinder with the LCD display in there. That was the first time I ever saw that. So when the X100 was announced, this was not news to me. It was a great time. And Fuji made a great camera that I could experiment with and really allow me to fall in love with photography. I don't know, I can't tell if I would have fallen in love with photography with another camera, but I mean, I can't turn back time to see, but it was Fuji that was there, and it was Fuji that made me love photography. And to that, I say thank you. And I've always looked into like Fuji's afterwards, their DSLR line. I guess I would keep up with it and say I think law enforcement used it a lot. I'm like, oh yeah, that's good for Fuji. Good for Fuji. I can't use them because I do. I'm going to be doing weddings soon and I need something faster, but yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And yeah, it's great. And now that the Fuji X series camera came into the market, and it basically made me fall in love with photography all over again. And I mean, but that'll be for another story. This week is all for the S7000. So Fuji, if you're listening, thank you for making this ugly little beautiful piece of machinery and glass, because without it, I don't know where my life would be. And I am humbly thankful for this, and I am increasingly humble that I have it back in my life, just to fill in that little spot back in. So, thank you. I hope you enjoyed episode 2. I will have episode 3 to talk about the X Pro 1. I will have it as soon as I can. Most of it has already been written. I just have to perform it. But if you enjoyed the show, it would be very helpful if you could go onto iTunes and give it a 5-star rating. This will help others find the show, and it's a great thank you. It's a great thing to see. And if you enjoyed this show, I would truly appreciate it and be honored. Also, if you want to see some sample photos from the S7000, go on over to thexline.com and check out the show notes. I'll have a few samples in there, but also check out Instagram. You could find the Xline at, how do I say this? At Xline Show would be the Instagram feed. There'll be a link to the feed in the show notes as well. That's all for this week. Again, thank you very much for listening. And to those who gave me well wishes from the previous episodes, I thank you guys again, guys and gals. And I will see you next time. All music for this episode comes from Bensound. For royalty-free music, check out bensound.com.